If you're all settled down in there, we'd take our Bibles. Wisdom is the principal thing, one of you just read. And it says, with all you're getting, get wisdom. So all you're getting means everything you have, all the possessions you have, all the money you have, all your finances. So if it was possible, that's what the Word of God is encouraging us to do. And so in that line of thinking, let's read this text in Ephesians 4 that we've been in for several weeks. We'll read verse 13 and 14. Paul is talking about the purpose of why God has given gifts to the church. Those of you that were here Friday, we talked a little bit about spiritual gifts that God gives to individual Christians. Here he's talking a little bit more in a general sense. So let's read this. Let's start with verse 12. It says that the reason for the gifts is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And verse 14 is the consequence and the result of this is that we would no longer be like children. And so Paul has introduced us to this idea of gifts, and the purpose of gifts, as I already said, is so that the church would be built up. We build a building, and that is the actual word that Paul uses in the Greek language, the same word that is used in construction, where you take pieces of material and you put them all together to create a building. Jesus said, the church is my church. I will build my church. We sometimes as Christians think that we are building the church of Jesus Christ. We are the tools. We are the instruments that God uses to build his church. But it is God that really does all the work in our life and through our life. And if you remember that the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to the church, first of all, he earned the right to give the gift to the church. And the first gifts he gives is the gift of leadership. Pastors that will teach you, and then as a result of that, you will know how to serve. We talked a little bit on Friday about the goal of service and ministry is so that not only we would be edified, not only we would have more knowledge about the Word of God and how we are to live, but the fact that God is ultimately calling every single one of us to take the gift that God has given us and most of us that were here Friday realize that most of us have many gifts or portions of gifts, spiritual gifts. We are to use them outside the church in evangelism and in bringing people to know the Lord. Inside the church, you sit here and you listen to the instruction of the Word of God. This teaches you and builds you and trains you as a good soldier of Christ. Paul, when he writes to Timothy, he uses examples in life. He says, be like a good farmer. He says, be like a good soldier. There's different analogies in Scripture to what the Christian life is all about. And so outside the church, we use our gifts in ministry to people that do not know Jesus Christ. Inside the church, we use our gifts to minister and to build up each other. Doctrinally speaking here, last Sunday we looked at the fact that God wants us to all gather around his word. Friday night we discussed a little bit of what the word fellowship means, those of you that were here. It is gathering together around a central theme, which is the word of God. And when we discuss it and meditate on it, that is what unites us. Paul is talking about Christian unity here in this whole chapter. He's been talking about unity in the church and in our lives among each other being the way that the world can look at us and know that we belong to him. Jesus, before he went to the cross, told his disciples, "The world will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another." We demonstrate unity through the love that we have to one another. And so this unity is around the Word of God. It is around the things that we believe. And these things unite us and build us into one body so that there would be no divisions, as, for example, Paul says happened in the church in Corinth, where they had little groups. One says, I like Pastor Apollos. And somebody else said, I like Pastor Paul. And somebody else says, well, I belong to Jesus. You know, and sometimes we like favorite pastors or teachers or favorite politicians or favorite Christians. But we are to be united and to treat each other with the love that Christ gave us. And part of this unity occurs as we gather and we listen and we learn from the Word of God. But secondly, let's look at this verse here today. The second point that Paul makes, he says, we are not only to be united in our faith or to come into this unity, but we are to come to a place where we have a knowledge of the Son of God. And a lot of people, when they first read this verse, they say, well, that's simply talking about salvation. I already know Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He died for me. I believe this. I have accepted Him as my personal Savior. But if you look in the context of this chapter 4 here in Ephesians, Paul is talking about not just coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior, but he's talking about something much, much more serious and much deeper than that. The more we know about the Word of God, the more we know about the character and the holiness and the attributes of God. We learn about who God is, what God does in our life, what Jesus Christ did for us. That is a knowledge of the person. Those of you that have just been recently married for maybe a month or two or a year, obviously are just learning about your husband or your wife. Those of us that have been married for decades, hopefully we know our spouses on a better level because we've experienced something together. What is it that we have experienced together, those of us that have been married for many years? We've experienced life together. The everyday events all put together over years and decades, they begin to give you a depth of knowledge of the person that you're living with. Paul started this chapter. He says, I want you to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called you. The more we learn about Jesus Christ, the more of life we've lived with him. Do you see the analogy between marriage and knowing Jesus Christ? As you walk with him, if you're fellowshipping with him, you're growing in the knowledge of the Son of God. Paul is a very interesting person. We think of Paul as being perhaps the most mature Christian there was. He's our example in a Christian life. But let's look at what Paul talks about the knowledge of the Son of God. We think that Paul, having written 2/3 of the New Testament, knew Jesus Christ fairly well, right? The disciples that walked and talked and learned from Jesus for 3.5 years, they knew Jesus Christ pretty well. Compared to us that never had the chance to face-to-face meet Jesus. But Paul, coming to the end of his life in Philippians chapter 3, look what Paul writes about his personal knowledge of the Son of God. Beginning with verse 7 of chapter 3, Philippians, Paul says, the things that were gained to me are the things that were profitable to me, the things that would most people think about in financial terms, he says, to me they are meaningless. This expression here, it says, I counted them for loss. If any of you have a bank account and you see your finances, the level of your finances go up and down depending on how you've spent them. You sometimes have a loss when you talk about the things you buy and you sell in a business or in a profit. But Paul says the things that should have been a financial profit to me, they mean nothing to me. The thing that means the most to me is knowing the Son of God. Verse 8, I also count the things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For Paul, knowing the Son of God was something that he considered to be excellent. You know, David in Psalms says, how excellent is your name, O Lord. Those of you that come Friday nights, remember in our study of the Lord's Prayer, we talked about the names of God and how excellent the name of God is. When we recite the Lord's Prayer that we did twice this morning, which is fairly unique, I don't think we've ever done it twice in a row like we did this morning, but that expression, let your name be holy. When we begin to think and meditate on the name of God, That is what Paul is talking here about, the excellence of our faith and knowing the Son of God. And Paul goes on, he says, I count it excellence, or I want the excellence of the knowledge. And I have suffered the loss of everything, and I count it as rubbish or as garbage or as nothing in order to gain Christ. Are you prepared? Are you willing to take everything that you have and exchange it to know the Son of God? Paul goes on later on at the end of his life, and he says, I have not yet attained this knowledge. I've spent my life communing with God and having fellowship with God and studying the scripture. And to us, when we look at Paul, we say, Paul, you know Jesus Christ, like all of us put together don't know him. And Paul says, I have not yet attained this knowledge. That's what he's talking about in Ephesians. He says that we would not only come to the unity of the faith, but in knowing these facts, it would bring us to a deeper knowledge of the Son of God. Ultimately, Scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 3 that when we meet Jesus Christ, either at death or at the rapture of the church, which Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 writes about, and also in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, then we will know him as he is. Jesus Christ, interestingly enough, in chapter 10, remember, he talks about himself being the good shepherd. And what does the shepherd do? A shepherd leads his sheep. But interestingly, in verse 27 of John 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they know me, and they obey my voice. So knowledge of the shepherd leads to obedience of the shepherd, which is demonstrated in walking and following the shepherd. Do you see the same analogy in Ephesians chapter 4? We know the facts of our faith that were delivered to us, that we are taught by our pastors. Secondly, this brings us to a knowledge of the Son of God, and that in a real Christian's life leads to obedience. And then the result of that is that we are walking. Our obedience is translated in walking, and the world can see that. The goal of the unity of the faith, verse 13, secondly, the knowledge of the Son of God is to become a perfect, or this word means complete man, up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul says, if it was possible, I would like my life to be just like the life of Jesus Christ. The same phrase is used by the writers of the gospel. Remember the story of Zacchaeus. In describing Zacchaeus, it says he was a man of short stature. Okay? We all know what a statue is. You can have a tall one, you can have a short one. Zacchaeus was a little shorty guy. Okay? Another example, Jesus healed the blind man. And then remember, the Pharisees wanted to know about him, and they went to his parents, and they questioned his parents, and they say, was he really blind when he was born? You see, they didn't believe that Jesus could heal the blind man. And what did the parents say? The parents said, he's grown up. He's an adult. You go talk to him. Okay, the word in the Greek there is, he is an adult. He is the tall statue compared to the shorty statue of Zacchaeus. The goal of our life in Jesus Christ, the goal of our unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Word of God, the goal of the knowledge of the Son of God is that we would be complete or wrapped up completely in the Son of God. And the result of that is then we attain the stature or the height of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is our example. That is our goal. And this progress that we have in our life, in this goal, depends on your faithfulness and being in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, like the man in Psalm 1. This goal is dependent on you being here Sunday after Sunday, Thursday after Thursday, Friday after Friday. Every chance you get to come here and sit here with your open Bible, learning the words of God. And the goal, last verse, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Look what Paul says happens as a result of our faithfulness in being in the Word of God. We all, with unveiled face as in a mirror, will see the glory of the Lord and will be transformed into his image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into the Word of God on a day-by-day basis, just like when we get up and look in the mirror, the Word of God begins to transform us. I remember Moses when he went up and he spent time in the presence of the Lord. And when he came down to the people, he was not even aware of the fact that his face was shining. Well, don't expect to go out and have a halo around your head. But when you spend time with God in his Word, your life will be transformed. And that will give God the glory. May God bless his Word. Amen.